Hello, my name is Ben Burrell and welcome back to Bob Dylan Album by Album, a podcast that takes an in-depth look at each Bob Dylan studio recording, record by record. Thank you for leaving reviews and ratings over the last couple of weeks. Thank you to people like Phil McAndy and also Val Scott and the excellent Nick H07 as well. If you can leave a review or you can leave a rating, then please do that. It really helps us out. So let's take a look at our first 60s album, and we start with a cold, bleak record that will become an iconic album. This is 1964's The Times They Are Changing.
Oh, the time will come up when the winds will stop and the breeze will cease to be breathing, like the stillness in the wind before the hurricane begins, the hour that the ship comes in.
Occasionally, art can transcend its usual form and function and become something completely new, and that is definitely the case on this record. While this album does entertain and is enjoyable as a collection of songs, it also captures a feeling and a set of ideals. Bob's demonstrated throughout his career he is great at capturing emotions onto tape. In fact, maybe that's where some artists rise above others. Perhaps their ability to create art that is truly relatable and truly resonates is the key to the very highest tier of success. Just like when we saw him capture all things love on Blood on the Tracks, or the feeling of mortality on more recent albums, or even when he gave us a glimpse into his mad famous world on Blonde on Blonde, here he does the same again, except these songs distill a particular time and a particular set of beliefs about that time. There's a Cold War paranoia, a hostile civil rights tension, and a bleak future laced all over these recordings. They provide a snapshot of the era, which makes them more important than just a collection of 10 tracks. Every song is a mini masterpiece, and they all have a point to make. No time is wasted either. They're stark and brutal to the point, both musically and lyrically. Whereas the preceding album, The Freewheelings, tension was broken every now and again with songs like Don't Think Twice, It's Alright and Carina Carina, here there's not really such a breather. Even the artwork between the two records is a shift. On the preceding album, a wistful Bob was walking down a New York snow-drenched street with his love Susie smiling. Here, though, he cuts a colder figure. That close-up makes him look a bit worse for wear and like he's completely at his wit's end. Don't get me wrong, The Freewheeling isn't a laugh-a-minute romp of an album, and Don't Think Twice, It's Alright isn't an upbeat advert jingle that brings in the sunshine, but it has a weary smile amongst the heartbreak. In contrast to that here, it's more raw and paranoid from start to finish, even when we do briefly depart the intensity of the world's issues with songs like Boots of Spanish Leather, that weary smile is replaced with a glassy-eyed sigh.
Oh, I'm sailing away, my own true love. I'm sailing away in the morning. Here's something I can send you from across the sea.
This album saw the end of the protest song period. Bob would of course return to it in fits and spurts, but this is the final protest songs album in capital letters. He would finish this run with its most intense set of tracks, and by the end you get the feeling he was feeling a little jaded himself. The instrumentation matches that too. It's bare, it's almost a wasteland of sonics, which not only brings the all-important lyrics into focus, but actually complements their gloom, something that is omnipresent on the album's title track.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam.
This song has been pored over so many times with so many interpretations, it's easy to get wound up into defining the meaning of every single line and cadence. For me though, it's a self-conscious protest song. Bob has always been very self-aware, and this song is a big marker of that. It feels like you're hearing an inspiring speech told at the start of a world-changing rally as you make your way through the song's 3 minutes and 12 seconds. In 1985, Bob described the song's creative process to director Cameron Crowe, saying, "This was definitely a song with a purpose. It was influenced, of course, by the Irish and Scottish ballads, Come All Ye Bold Highwaymen and Come All Ye Tender-Hearted Maidens. I wanted to write a big song with short, concise verses that piled up on each other in a hypnotic way. The civil rights movement and the folk music movement were pretty close for a while." So he set about writing a song for a feeling, for a silent part of society that was still finding its voice. It's almost like the mood of a nation, or at least part of it, was flowing through Dylan, and it was up to him to speak their words. He was the mouthpiece. Bob's friend Tony Glover recalls visiting Dylan's apartment in September 1963 when he saw an early manuscript of the song. After reading the words, "Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call," he reportedly asked Dylan, "What is this shit?" To which Dylan responded, "Well, you know, it seems to be what people like to hear." With these quotes, again, it feels like Bob knew he was talking for a group of people at a time when they needed to be heard. This is quite manufactured. Time seems to be a big deal in the song as well. There's more than a feeling of the time being right to make a difference now, especially as we reach the song's second verse where he sings, "Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again."
Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming.
There's a school of thought that this song talks about the division between the free-thinking radical youth of the moment and its aging wartime population. But that appears to be a red herring. Bob is quoted as saying, "Those are the only words that I could find to separate aliveness from deadness. It has nothing to do with age." While there is a direct address to mothers and fathers later asking them to take a new road, again, it feels more like an address to an older way of thinking rather than just the older population. There's a sense of trying to get it right on all sides for the greater good, regardless of age. As Bob sings those opening lines we touched on before, "Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall.
Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging."
Dylan starts the song by calling out to anyone who'll listen with that famous opening line of "Come gather round people wherever you roam," again sounding like a spokesman at a rally. He then gets more specific, almost like he's ticking off the sections of society who need to join in the movement. He addresses writers and critics and senators and congressmen and mothers and fathers, before in the final verse delivering a stark bleakness about the future, almost like he's saying, "If you're not with us, then your fate is already sealed." As he sings, "The line is drawn, the curse is cast. The slow one now will later be fast.
The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading."
Just listening back to those lyrics now, they have more than a passing resonance to today. Taken a number of our current issues, from the rise of extremism to climate change, and it has an uncomfortable contemporary feel when you listen to them within the context of the current world. They also have a biblical feeling as well, especially those final two lines, which several critics have connected to the lines in the Gospel of Mark 10:31, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last first," which brings an apocalyptic edge to proceedings. In fact, just on those lyrics, it's easy to forget how good they are. They're just so famous and they've been heard so many times, it's not till you actually sit down and look at them in black and white that you're reminded of their genius. I particularly like how Bob starts with that water metaphor, singing, "Come gather round people wherever you roam and admit that the waters around you have grown." This is kind of perfect. It has a creeping, slow, steady impression, like water slowly rising for a high tide. This does a great job of representing the changing political landscape and reforming of ideas. His use of the word "grown" is interesting as well. He chooses it over a perhaps more apt word like "risen." "Grown" implies that a gradual rise is taking place with a firm base, like it's an unstoppable occurrence of nature. Trees grow and bones grow. It's solid and sure and natural. This is not gimmicky. This is not a get-rich-quick process. This is natural. Also, his decision to use water as a metaphor is again interesting. Those menacing lines of water rising around us leads to thoughts of drowning and suffocation. Like Bob is saying, if you get stuck in the old way of thinking, you'll be dead in the water. And there's also obvious connotations to the tide changing as well, which makes up the whole backdrop to not only this album, but the decade it came out in. He sticks with this metaphor for the rest of the verse, singing, "And accept that soon you'll be drenched to the bone." That use of the phrase "drenched to the bone" puts us in the mind of being entirely encompassed. Few things can completely destroy objects and places like water. Its liquid form gets in everywhere and can infiltrate any surface. It seeps its way through even the toughest of exteriors. If Bob had used different but still appropriate imagery like fire or thunder, it would have obviously worked on a metaphorical level, but it wouldn't have the same feeling that's present here. There's something about the use of water that really characterises the song. It has a slow-moving menace to it. Also, from a personal perspective, it really adds to the imagery in my head, as I always picture dirty water at night slowly creeping over the song's lyrics, adding yet another dimension. He continues this metaphor right to the end of the verse, even finishing it off with an olive branch of advice to the people he mentioned in the first couple of lines. He sings, "If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone.
If your time to you is worth worth saving. Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Oh, the times, they are a-changing.
As we know, this song is a radical call to arms. It did its job of giving a movement and a feeling and a section of society an anthem. It didn't single-handedly bring an entire 360 turn in thoughts on civil rights or the foreign policy of the United States. I don't think any art really has the power to do that. But it did, like all good art can do, create resonance. And in many ways, that's as important. This is the song for someone who's felt failed by the system, for someone who's looked at their government and felt disillusioned by it and found some solace in these verses. The true power of the song is in its longevity. Even over 50 years later, it's still an anthem for the underclass. When thousands of young people descended on the National Mall earlier in 2018 for the student-led March for Our Lives, Jennifer Hudson ended the event with an emotional rendition of the song, backed up by the local Destiny Row Choir.
Come together, round children, wherever you're wrong. And admit that the water around you have grown, and accept it, that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better stop swimming. Are you seeing like a star? A star, pay your attention.
The fact it's still doing its job all these years later is as much as any song can accomplish. Between the rudimentary guitar strum and Bob's downplayed vocals and that harmonica wheeze, there's an anthem that comforts and supercharges the downtrodden. However, despite the song's longevity, Bob wouldn't really try and recreate its sentiment. Just under 2 months before its release, President Kennedy was assassinated. Bob Fass, a friend of Dylan's, was within the day of the shooting, and according to Fass, he said, "What it means is they're trying to tell you don't even hope to change things." Dylan later wrote on the assassination, "There's no right or left, there's only up and down." While obviously none of the album is actually about this historical event, it certainly soundtracks the tension and feelings around it. But it also might have been the undoing of Dylan's protest song era. We never really come back to the protest song in the way we do here at any time during Dylan's career. That famous Dallas shooting might have put Bob into a headspace where he felt he wasn't making a difference and that all hope might just be lost. Which in part, along with the disdain for the Messiah label which was placed upon him and his growing celebrity, contributed to him leaving the protest song behind. Before that does happen, though, we do get some incredible protest songs on this record. And no one's safe. Bob takes shots at everyone, including on track 2, which is laced with disenchantment about the poverty in the United States.
Alice Brown, he lived on the outside of town. Hollis Brown, he lived on the outside of town.
The Ballad of Hollis Brown is a tense, stark blues tune that tells the story of a South Dakota farmer who, overwhelmed by depression and poverty, kills his wife, his children, and then himself. While it's not specifically based on a well-known true story, you get the impression Dylan could have witnessed something similar in his younger years. When he was 13 years old, one of the century's worst epidemics of Blackstone rust struck the upper Midwest, particularly North and South Dakota, with almost 75% of the wheat harvest lost to the disease. Blackstone rust blackens the crop with a powdery sooty fungus, something that is described in verse 7 here with the lines, "Your grass it is turning black, there's no water in your well." The song is told in the past tense, adding to the album's sorrowful backdrop. It creates a feeling of inevitability and hopelessness. If it was told in a linear fashion with events unfolding as the song progresses, you do feel as a listener there might be a chance of a change of fate. Here, though, it feels like a police report listing the grim details with a cold, unaffected delivery. Right from the off, you realise something bad has happened, and by the second verse, it's pretty bleak. Bob sings, "You looked for work and money, and you walked a ragged mile. You looked for work and money, and you walked a ragged mile. Your children are so hungry that they don't know how to smile." After the scene setting of the first two verses, Bob continues the dismal story where not even God can help.
He prayed to the Lord above, "Oh, please send you a friend. You prayed to the Lord above, oh, please send you a friend. Your empty pockets tell you that you ain't got no friend."
There's some great colour here. Dylan does a good job of setting the landscape for this story without ever it feeling laboured. He never feels the need to obviously point out a sparse landscape with overly descriptive lines. Instead, there's hints to it with lines like a ragged mile and the aforementioned grass turning black. It's all there for us implied in the lyrics, leaving him to concentrate on the story. Also, this lack of over-description really plays into the song, and for that matter, the album's theme of a bare, sterile setting. Aiding this is the stripped-back production. There's not even the hint of studio sheen. No reverb, no echo, nothing. We don't even get a harmonica solo here. It's just Bob and the guitar and those bluesy riff lines perfectly framing the story. They almost are the sound of the song's grim, empty, windswept wasteland.
Your grass is turning black, there's no water in your well. Your grass is turning black, there's no water in your well.
That riff is repeated with an almost metronomic pounding. It really creates a note of tension that rises as the song comes to its climax, starting with that first mention of the fateful shotgun in verse 7, as Bob sings, "You spent your last lone dollar on 7 shotgun shells."
You spent your last lone dollar on 7 shotgun shells. Way out in the wilderness, a cold coyote calls.
The wilderness setting is then reconfirmed in those lines about a cold coyote calling.
Way out in the wilderness, a cold coyote calls.
The coyote also giving us the feeling of yet more desperation with their scavenger-like nature. At the end of the verse, that foreboding shotgun comes back into focus with the line, "Your eyes fixed on the shotgun that's hanging on the wall." In the next verse, the farmer's madness, driven by hunger and desperation, manifests itself in Bob's lines of, "Your brain is a-bleeding, your legs can't seem to stand. Your brain is a-bleeding, your legs can't seem to stand. Your eyes fix on the shotgun that you're holding in your hand." Before finally, with another reference to the dead landscape, the chilling fate of the family is sealed as Bob sings, "There's 7 breezes a-blowing all around the cabin door. There's 7 breezes a-blowing all around the cabin door. 7 shots ring out like the ocean's pounding roar."
There's 7 breezes blowing all around the cabin door. There's 7 breezes blowing all around the cabin door. 7 shots ring out like the ocean's pounding roar.
Listen to how on this verse, Bob introduces a variation on the riff, almost like he's basking in the horror of those final lines. This is like the strings in Psycho or Jaws bringing the true horror of the action to life. Of course, it's not as melodramatic or well done as those films' iconic scores. That would never quite fit on this album, but it does the same job. This break in the lyrics even gives the listener a moment to reflect on the horror. We then hear the act confirmed in the final verse of, "There's 7 people dead on a South Dakota farm. There's 7 people dead on a South Dakota farm. Somewhere in the distance, there's 7 new people born." Finally, after all this bleakness, we get the feeling the family are in a better place with that final line, "There's 7 new people born." While it could be said that there's 7 more people that will take their place in this bleak world of never-ending poverty, I think the preceding line of "somewhere in the distance" implies a feeling of moving on, like they're crossing over to another place, safe away from this bleakness. Interestingly, unlike, say, the lonesome death of Hattie Carroll, here there's a lack of blame. Not even the farmer who is the murderer is really held to account. He's done the deed, but the situation is more to blame than him, which adds a final sour layer to this sorry tale. This is the bleakest song on a bleak album, and despite the same tools, it's harsh compared to others here. Listen to how different the atmospheres are in a song like One Too Many Mornings compared to this track.
Down the street the dogs are barking, in the D is it getting dark. As the night comes in a falling, the dogs lose their bark. And the silent night will shatter from the sounds inside my mind. Isn't one too many mornings in 1,000 miles behind.
Both these songs are essentially Bob picking on an acoustic guitar for the most part, but One Too Many Mornings is a world away from this terrifying landscape created in track 2. It's actually a big compliment to Dylan that without studio trickery or big production ideas, and with only the same instruments at his disposal, he can create such conflicting sounds and settings in the songs. How would he go about creating and capturing those sounds? That's something we look at in part 2, next time. That's it for part one on The Times They Are A-Changing. We'll take another look at this album next week. In the meantime, if you've missed any of the previous episodes from either season, you can find them at bobdylanpodcast.com. Until next time, thanks once again for listening and goodbye.